You know how we feel about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Instead of a government program, what we need are grassroots movements. And when I think of grass and movements, absolutely our love of dogs comes about. And I saw this story the other day, and I knew he had been doing stuff like this. One of my dear personal friends was on the front page of all the newspapers and on the TV stations. He was John Suntz doing a fundraiser and his new website, heatkills.org, about dogs and leaving them in the car in the heat. And we love to take our pets with us. Our pets will beg and scrape at the door like they were Nancy Pelosi looking for a camera to pay attention to. They'll say, please take us with us, please. And you'll say, okay. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're in the shopping center ready to run into the store and you can't bring the dog with you. John, it is awesome to see you. And congrats on the attention you were getting from the TV media over the weekend.
Thanks, Joe. It's, it's not about me. This is about sort of the unseen suffering that our furry friends endure when people leave them in cars and they don't know how dangerous it is and the dogs can't tell them, I'm really, really, really hot.
So. Right. And they're panting, which, you know, you think, all right, they were panting when I left them in the car. And now they're still panting. But right. it's approaching 150 degrees very quickly. How quickly does a car, you know, start to heat up?
Well, typically within the first 10 minutes, the interior temperature of a car, even with the windows partially down, rises 19 degrees. Within the first 20 minutes, the same car rises, the interior temperature rises 29 degrees. Jeez. So there's a couple of things to think about here. That may not sound like that much. Oh, I'm just running into the store. I saw a friend. I'm talking about this stuff. It's only 75 degrees. But what most people don't know, or many people don't know, is that dogs cannot sweat and they're covered in fur. So if you can imagine putting yourself in that same situation in a fur coat and you can't sweat, that's what you're going to endure sitting in that car. And people have just been doing this, and actually there's over 50 police dogs that have died in police cruisers since 2011 being left in cars, even with the AC on, in which cases the AC broke down or they left the dog in there for too long. So it's just a terrible situation.
Police dogs or police cases?
Police dogs.
Oh my gosh, that's, you think about a population that's hyper aware of, you know, their care,
it should
their
be.
Partner, yeah. So you've got a website. It's called heatkills.org. A little bit of a backstory. Shayna, who is just the sweetest, I got to know her while she was hanging around with you, and, you know, definitely elevated you, by her presence. You rescued her from a shelter, and then she rescued you from wherever you were in your life. And then she passed, but she always, you know, she started you down this path, didn't she?
Well, in a way, I'm sort of a fixture in the outdoor cafes around town, and
for good reasons. I mean, you're working there. It's not one of those like we need to, you know, have the authorities.
I'm not up against a wall being spread by a cop or something like that. But
I'm not asking for change or anything.
Exactly. But I had her by my side because I was writing a tribute book. It actually took many years to write about how she ended up helping to save my life after 9/11. So I'm sitting at an outdoor cafe, minding my own business, quiet morning, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock. It's maybe 80, 85 degrees outside, minding my own business, and I hear a dog barking in a car. So I ask someone to watch Shayna. I turn on the video camera on my cell phone, and I go out to find out what's going on. And time after time after time, I see a dog locked in a car. The sun is beating down on it. The windows are open 2 or 3 inches. I videotape the incident. I document the whole thing. I call the police. And if you go to heatkills.org and under the tab videos, the first tab there is videos of dogs, not cars. There's 12, 15 videos. I don't remember the exact total. In each case, I document what time it was, what day, the temperature, the situation, the whole thing. And it just happens over and over again. And I could not believe how widespread this problem was. And that's what gave birth to heatkills.org, is to create a simple, easy to understand reference point with scientifically valid data. I always provide the links to support all my sources and one key graphic to show how quickly the interior temperature of the car rises, so that hopefully we can start getting the word out and preventing these dogs from suffering the way they are.
And I know an awful lot of people who own dogs, who have dogs, and live with dogs. And I don't think, you know, anyone is going to do this out of malice. It's out of a lack of forethought. It's a lack of realization sometimes how quickly this heats up.
Yes. And in many cases, I've interviewed emergency vets across the country, and they just said not only is the problem that people are unaware, in many cases, it's the authorities that are unaware. The police officers don't understand the science of this. In many cases, animal control officers don't understand it because they've never been trained in the science of heat stroke in dogs. So they're all sort of winging it. They're all sort of operating on, you know, the 100 years ago, there was all these grandma's theories on how to combat a cough or hiccups or whatever else. So they all sort of wing it. There's no common standard for which to understand the physiology of leaving a dog in a hot car. And in many cases, I've run into this. I've talked to other animal advocates. The animal control officer says, well, if the dog's not laying on its side and foaming at the mouth or clearly in distress, they're not going to take the dog. The bottom line is brain damage can set in within the first 10 minutes of being left in a hot car, and the dog won't display symptoms for days.
Hey, John, can I hang on to you for a little while here? All right. We're going to talk to John Sutz. He runs heatkills.org this morning. WCHV time, 7:13.
That's 800-450-1381. If
asked, is the execution of your government good, bad, or just a compelling idea?
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time 7:22. Visiting with a dear friend of ours, John Sutz, and he kills. heatkills.org, John, and I appreciate because, you know, we hear a lot of sociologists talking about, you know, one of the triggers of somebody who might be a troubled youth is abuse of animals. But in so many cases of this, it's ignorance, not abuse. There's not evil. There's just an unknowing public who thinks they're doing their dog a kindness by bringing them along with them and leaving them in a car. What sort of rules are there? I mean, if you have a car on the street with a bad registration, you're going to get a parking ticket and towed, and you're going to owe money and everything else. Are there? Can the animal control officers give tickets out to people who leave their animals in cars after they rescue them from those situations and that kind of thing?
Well, it really varies by city to city and state to state. There's certainly efforts that are underway to do this, and there have been some Good Samaritan laws that have been passed that protect people who, in the interest of a dog, that they can see that the dog has been in this situation for a while, if they break the glass or open the door to get the dog out of this environment. And there was a situation in both New Mexico and Ohio where police officers, and this is a little bit of a tangential issue, took it upon themselves that when the dog owner started arguing with them that, oh, my dog, it's fine. It's been 20 minutes, 30 minutes in summer sun. The officer requested that the person themselves get into the car in the same circumstance and sit there and see what they endure. And one of the people got so upset they filed suit against the police officer and the police department for doing this under the auspices of law enforcement because she was so uncomfortable after 5 minutes.
So you're suing the police officer for cruelty and for make you do the same thing you just did here. So heatkills.org, how can our listeners help you do more? Share this? I mean, you got flyers with pull-off tabs for the website and some great notices on how hot it gets and how quickly in your car. Share it with your friends' Facebook page. What can we do?
Yeah, the number one thing is go to heatkills.org, look around, educate yourself. There's also downloadable, shareable, printable, informational flyers that you can create with tear-off tabs. If you're elderly, if you're not computer fluent, you could email it to the local Staples, and for $20, print up a bunch of these things, get them out to your local coffee shops, get them out any place that people see it, because unfortunately, there is either no or very ineffective, usually, outreach by whatever animal advocates are in your area. It's a completely hit-and-miss process. So what I wanted to do was to create a resource that a six-year-old can look at and understand why to never leave a dog in a car.
You mentioned six-year-olds, and I would love to say that you'd never leave your baby in a car, but unfortunately, every couple of weeks, it seems like there's another story, at least on the national news wire, of somebody who's left an infant child in a car as well.
Some people who are new to Charlottesville or don't remember, in 2007, I think it was, there was a baby that was left at the JAG school by a JAG school, the University of Virginia Judge Advocate General School at the university, the law school. An employee left a toddler 18 months old in the car. The baby died of heat stroke. And that was in March. That was in March, and the temperature never rose above 66 degrees that day.
And so it has nothing to do with the ambient temperature. Now, we're going to get back up into the 90s here, but, I mean, it can be in the middle of winter, and you can leave your dog in the car, and eventually it's a big magnifying glass.
This is the problem. You can go out and you can adopt a kid, but you're going to have to go through child-raising education. You're going to have to prove that you have an appropriate home, that you have the requisite knowledge, that you can demonstrate that you are capable of taking care of this baby or this child in an effective and safe way. But in many cases, you can go and adopt a dog just because you need a companion. You want companionship. You feel that you can do this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you find out after the dog dies in a heat stroke incident, well, how come I didn't know? How did this happen? How could I have not known this? And unfortunately, it's happening across the country, and these dogs don't speak our language. They sit there and they pant, but you don't know what's going on inside the dog's physiology.
John, thank you so much. Again, it's heatkills.org. I'm going to share all of this stuff, social media and everything. God bless you. And Shana did a good job training you up.
Absolutely.
WCHV time 728. Here.